Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we thank you, we praise you for your word, and we thank you for the way in which your word speaks to our hearts and to our minds. And Father, we ask that you open our hearts and minds once again. Help us to hear what you are saying to us this day. And may our hearts, when we leave this place, be turned more towards you. For we ask and pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. The scripture reading this morning is Habakkuk chapter 3, verses 1 through 2. And then also I'm going to read 17 through 19. Please stand in honor of God's word. A prayer of the prophet Habakkuk according to Shigonoth. O Lord, I have heard of your renown, and I stand in awe, O Lord, of your work. In our own time, revive it. In our own time, make it known. In wrath, may you remember mercy. Though the fig tree does not blossom, and no fruit is on the vines, though the produce of the olive fails, and the fields yield no food, though the flock is cut off from the fold and there is no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will exalt in the God of my salvation. God the Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer and makes me tread upon the heights. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We continue in our series on all the minor prophets, and today is Habakkuk, and author and pastor Chuck Swindoll wanted to find out how obscure the book of Habakkuk is, so he did an interesting thing. He went to the streets, and he asked people that he encountered, what they knew about Habakkuk. And these were some of his answers. The service station attendants frowned and thought for a few minutes, "I think it's a word spelled backwards." A secretary said she was sure that it was some Jewish holiday. A waitress said it's probably a village in Vietnam. A teenager said that it was a new horror movie out. A merchant thought that Chuck Swindoll was a salesman and his product was Habakkuk's, and he didn't want any of them. Someone said they thought it was a game you play, but he had never played it. A lady thought it was a fish, and an older gentleman said, "I think it's a disease of the lower back." Habakkuk was a prophet who brought bold questions to Almighty God. He prophesied to Judah between the fall of Nineveh, which we had talked about last week when I spoke about Nahum, and the Babylonian invasion of Judah. As Assyria, remember, was crumbling, Babylon now was becoming the dominant world power. Habakkuk pours out his heart to God. And he dialogues with God by asking questions. Why does God often seem indifferent in the face of evil? Why do evil people seem to go unpunished? Times were hard in Habakkuk's day. Judah had boldly rebelled against God. There was a great revival prior to that time by King Josiah many, many years earlier. And when King Josiah was 16, he made a definite decision to walk with God. And when he was 20, he had the altars of all these false gods torn down, and he cleaned up Judah, and Judah was really responding, and there was this great revival. But as we know from all the previous minor prophets, they turned back to their evil ways. Back again, to the false gods. The nation is now living in wickedness. Babylon is beginning to rise to power. And the Babylonians were a brutal, vicious people. They would plunder cities and even stack up skulls. I mean, they were really, really horrific people. And so Habakkuk wonders, where's God in all of this? And take note that the people are not actually addressed in this book. The prophets that we have spoken of spoke to the people. But this is an interesting, it's like a Q&A session between Habakkuk and God. Habakkuk begins with questioning God. How long, O Lord, must I call for help, but you do not listen? Or cry out to you violence, but you do not save? Why do you make me look at injustice? Why do you tolerate wrong? And God answers Habakkuk, telling him that he will allow the Babylonians to come in and to punish Judah. And Habakkuk can't believe his ears. And he tells God that, you know, Judah's bad, but you would let Babylon deal with Judah? They are far more evil than Judah. Habakkuk basically tells the Lord that he will then just stand by and watch. And then the Lord answers Habakkuk and tells him to write it down. And he basically tells him to be patient. My plans will be worked out in my perfect timing. He tells Habakkuk that he knows all about the Babylonians, that they're a proud people, and he describes these woes that they will face as he describes these evil people as being thieves, schemers, murderers, drunkards, immoral, idolaters. And under Babylon, he lets Habakkuk know that Judah will exist and Judah will continue after Babylon eventually falls. And tucked away in that chapter is verse 4 of chapter 2. But the righteous will live by faith. So hang on to that. The righteous will live by faith. Because then in chapter 3, Habakkuk comes to the Lord with this beautiful prayer. Habakkuk knew God was going to discipline Judah, and he was in control, and it wasn't going to be easy to watch, but Habakkuk accepted God's will, and he rejoices. It's interesting that that word there in the Hebrew for rejoices means to leap for joy and to spin about in exultation. You could kind of imagine a child, you know, jumping for joy and spinning around. And that's what that word rejoice there means. It's amazing that in the midst of all that he sees and this question and answer back and forth with God, he submits to God's will. And he rejoices in the Lord God Almighty. William Cooper suffered severe depression and attempted suicide repeatedly. He ended up in an asylum where he came upon a Bible. At age 6, his mother died, giving birth to his brother John, leaving William deeply distraught. He faced a series of disappointments in life. Cooper moved from school to school, and as he progressed into adulthood, things grew appreciably worse. In 1763, he was offered a position as a clerk of journals in the House of Lords, but the specter of the job examination sent him off the rails. He experienced this grinding depression that bordered on insanity. 3 times he attempted suicide and was sent to an asylum for recovery. The asylum turned out to be a place of grace for Cooper. Dr. Nathaniel Cotton, an evangelical believer, cared for Cooper and showed him the love of Christ. One day at the hospital, he found a Bible and he opened it to the book of Romans. And God opened Cooper's blind spiritual eyes that day, and he was converted to a saving hope in Jesus Christ. In 1767, 2 years after leaving the asylum, Cooper met the slave trader turned preacher, John Newton. And you all know what John Newton is famous for, that wonderful hymn, Amazing Grace. And he met up with him, and the two of them worked together, and Cooper wrote a hymn that ministered. And you probably know the words of this hymn as well. God moves in a mysterious way, his wonders to perform. He plants his footsteps in the sea and rides upon the storm. Deep in unfathomable minds of never-failing skill, he fashions up his bright designs and works his sovereign will. Ye fearful saints, fresh courage take. The clouds that you much dread are big with mercy and will break in blessings on your head. Judge not the Lord by feeble sense, but trust him for his grace. Behind a frowning providence, he hides a smiling face. His purposes will ripen fast, unfolding every hour. The bud may have a bitter taste, but sweet will be the flower. Blind unbelief is sure to err and scan his work in vain. God is his own interpreter, and he will make it plain. William Cooper seemed to sum it up right there in those words. Even though he was very distraught and depressed of the things of his life, he still saw the sovereign will of Almighty God. During difficult times in the world in which we are living, and we are seeing more and more difficult times, and even in our own personal lives, when difficult times come, God is still in control. Habakkuk 2:4 tells us the righteous live by faith, and in the midst of it all, we can still rejoice in the Lord God Almighty. There's a story about a woman who was very discouraged because of the many problems in her life. And as she was walking down the street, she met a fellow believer who asked, "How are you doing today?" With a sour look and a big, bitter shrug, she replied, "Oh, not too bad under the circumstances." The other person quickly countered, "Well, get above the circumstances. That's where Jesus is." And that is so true, because compare that to a grief-stricken woman who was sharing her feelings. Her friend said sympathetically, "Sorrow does color, doesn't it? Colors our life." "Yes," the woman agreed, and then added, "but I intend to choose the colors." That's exactly what Habakkuk did. He saw all of this before him, all this evil, and he questions God, and he goes back and forth with God. But in the end, he submits to the sovereign will of God, that God was in control, God knew what he was doing, and he rejoices and praises him. And that's where we find our hope and our strength during the difficult times in life. I look out there, and there's Nancy and Steve Patterson today. You know, they had every reason to stay home today. You know that? You know, when you lose a loved one, and they're exhausted. I know, because I've been there with them the last couple of days, and it's terribly exhausting watching a loved one die and waiting and waiting. And they could have stayed home in bed today. That would have been the easiest thing to do, because when sorrow's heavy, sometimes we just want to pull the covers up and stay under the covers. But to come into God's house and worship and praise the name of Almighty God, in the midst of deep sorrow, there is joy and there is strength when we praise God's name. That's exactly what Habakkuk was telling us. Through faith. The righteous live by faith, and we live by faith in this fallen and crazy and broken world. And when our lives seem to crumble around us, we live by faith. And when we rejoice in the Lord God Almighty, that gives us hope, that gives us strength, that lifts us up beyond anything else that could lift us up. Through faith in Jesus Christ, you and I can choose the colors. We have the choice, just like that older lady in her deep sorrow. I choose the color of life. Loss and pain do color our lives, but we can choose joy when we focus and lift our praises before Almighty God. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we thank you. We praise you for these minor prophets, the Lord, we oftentimes can find a gem to hang on to in the midst of some of the most difficult reading and some of the most difficult situations that were occurring in those times. And yet, Lord, we see this gem in Habakkuk, that the righteous shall live by faith. And that amidst it all, Habakkuk rejoiced in you and trusted you. And Lord, we pray this day that you help us to trust in you, that you might color our lives in deep sorrows, in deep sadness, in frustrations and disappointments, whatever's going on in our own personal lives, Lord, help us to choose the color that you have for us. And that color is Jesus. And that color is joy. Amidst it all. And as we look out into our world and we see so much evil, Lord, and we want to be like Habakkuk at time and say, why, oh Lord, why? But help us to understand you have a sovereign plan in this world as well. And help us to continue to submit to your will and your plan and to rejoice in Almighty God. In the midst of it all, because you are our hope, you are our comfort, and you are our strength. And we ask and pray these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. This time we do have a healing service, and I invite those who desire anointing and laying on of hands to come forward. You can come forward for someone else. You can come forward for things that are going on in your own life. Whatever you need healing for. And it doesn't always have to be physical. It can be whatever problems or whatever circumstances are in your life that you want to bring before the Lord. closing hymn is in your bulletin on the back of the sheet, and we will be singing it to the Church's One Foundation. You will recognize the tune. Let us go forth now out into the world, and may we choose to color our lives with Jesus, no matter what the circumstances, that we may truly have his joy in his presence. And may our voices rejoice with his praise. And may the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion and fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with each and every one of us, both now and forevermore. Amen.